Well, I think last year I was comfortable in saying that because I had a feeling that there wasn't going to be anybody to trade up or want to trade up at that point in time. Where this year it's a little bit more different because there has been some activity. So to undoubtedly say, yeah, I know who it's going to be, I couldn't do it this year. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. If we stayed at three, I think I have a pretty good idea who it would be, but a very good idea who it would be. But there's a lot of doubt with where we might be picking. It could be in that 8, 9, 10. It could be farther than that, so it's hard.
Would you trade back further than 10?
The competition would have to be right. So, yeah.
That would be a big package.
It'd be a big package, yeah.
Hey, talk about your role. How do you like it set up?
I like action, and I like noise. So I don't like it when it's real quiet.
Okay.
So,
a lot of people in there?
Yeah, I don't mind people in there. We play a little bit of music, and you know, we got the music. Marty Miller's the draft room DJ, but just like it to be relaxed and not so much, not real stressful.
You told us recently that you don't like your scouts and people to see your board because you want their input and their information.
Mm-hmm.
When you got everything and put it together, did it come out the way you liked it?
Yeah, I think I think there were some guys that, and it's good for me because they make me go back and look at some guys too because I'm not the omniscient one either. So, you know, I can go back and be like, you know what, I think I was too high on this guy or too low on this guy. And our scouts are very talented and very good evaluators. So, I'd be honest with you, I don't really look at a lot of their grades either throughout the fall. And try to make my own evaluations, and then when we all come together collectively, it's really good. And we do the same thing with our coaches, and we say, hey, don't try not to ask the scouts what they think of guys, or try not to read what people think of them. Just make your own opinion, and then let Gus and I look where, okay, personnel staff sees them this way, coaching staff sees them this way. I saw them that way when I did them. Gus sees them that way, and those are the ones we feel really good about. And that what happened. That's what happened with Luke last year.
Have you already talked with the general managers, or does that all come up basically?
There's been a couple of feelers out there. I've talked to two, but other than that, I have not. Nothing concrete, nothing, hey, we're definitely going to do anything. I think everyone's just kind of gauging what the price would be. And for us, it would really just depend on what player was there.
How important is a relationship then when those conversations come? You know,
yeah.
You having a relationship with the GM?
Yeah, I've been very, very important. As a matter of fact, the Eugene Monroe trade happened because I had a good relationship with the people in Baltimore. So sometimes when you're at a school, you're visiting, or you're just calling to see how their family's doing, and then all of a sudden, hey, did you have anything about thoughts about coming up to three? No, what would it take? You know, then we talk about that. So it helps. But I think as we get into the beginning of next week and closer to the draft, teams that have real interest in coming up, we'll reach out. My gut tells me that because there's a lot of talk about it, that there probably won't be any movement. but that's not necessarily true either. You know, so last year there was no talk about it, and there was very little movement. So,
do you have a good feeling on which teams or which GMs send out a lot of disinformation or misinformation in the weeks leading up?
You know, I don't. That's not our policy here. I feel like, you know, we just go through the process and let people kind of make their own interpretation of it. And a lot of times you can screw yourself up by thinking, well, if they're doing this, sometimes you just got to come in and have a guy and meet a guy just to see what he's like. But just because you bring a guy in doesn't mean you're going to draft him.
There are teams, though, that'll float some stuff out there that try to get some.
Yeah, that's not us. I always tell people that, you know, media outlet or somebody texts me, I always tell them if I don't answer you, it's because I don't want to lie to you. So. They know that if I don't answer them, I don't want to lie to them, so I kind of hold true to that.
Is there a time for that? I mean, did you learn from either Bill or Thomas about if you make that mistake, it'll burn a bridge down the road?
I learned that from my parents, you know, to be honest with you. just be honest with people and be honest with the people in this building. And I don't think that, you know, I think you can screw yourself up at times, too, and you may want to put something out there and then somebody reads into it and the outcome that might not be what you want it to be. So just go through it. The job's hard enough to do it as it is. So you go through the process and try to make the best calculated decisions for your organization.
First two or three rounds, you know, will play itself out, but it's important to be really good some issue.
Sure.
You can find guys there that are contributors.
Yeah.
That makes a big difference.
Absolutely. And even like last year, you know, when you get a guy like Ace Sanders that comes in the fourth round and he has 51 catches, and that filled a big void for us this year. So if you can get a guy or Demetrius McCray comes in and starts two games that you got in the seventh round and it held his own and you feel like, oh, wow, we can start to develop him. And, you know, DMAC might have a chance to come in here and have real playing time for us this year. So those are huge. And because you're not going to hit on your first, second, and third round all the time. We're going to make mistakes there, too. So if you can hit on some guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round and kind of offset that's really big.
Will anything surprise you
tomorrow?
Next Thursday?
I don't think on day one. I don't think there'll be too many surprises. I feel like everybody's been up the board, down the board. There's no room for surprises anymore.
We've talked about the draft so much that, you know, you find no player's perfect, right?
Right.
So you focus on these, like, negative things about, this guy can't do that. Is it hard for you to not second-guess yourself with this extra time?
Well, I think our organizational philosophy, and Coach Braley does a great job with our coaches and with our scouting staff, we do the same thing, is we always say, tell us what the player can do and tell us what he can do for us. And then the things, his weaknesses, well, that's why we have great developmental coaches to come in and help the player with whatever he may not be able to do very well, to come in and do it well. But let's start with what he can do, and if we do draft him, what's the first thing he's going to do for us? I think that would depend on who goes in the first two picks.
Is that right?
Yeah. So.
What are the chances a quarterback goes before you pick?
I don't know. You have to ask St. Louis and Houston.
Well, they're not
going to
tell.
Yeah. But I don't know.
Do you believe that a quarterback's not ready to start the game?
That's kind of been our feeling from the get-go. That's why we signed Chad right away, and we can go into the season with Chad as a starter, and felt like that he can, if we got playmakers around him, that he could, he was 500 the last eight games last year, and he'll have another year in the system. I think each individual quarterback, you have to take it. I don't think you can take a hard stance. They have to play right away or they have to sit a year. I think you take each individual quarterback separately, and you can make cases for each one. Well, this quarterback played right away. He was very successful. Well, this Philip Rivers sat for a year, and he's been one of the top quarterbacks in the game for 10 years. So.
Does that not matter as much if they're not expected to play?
Yeah, I think the competition that they've – I think it's more of the systems that they come out of. The college game right now, and like I said over there, you got the spread systems, and they don't do a whole lot of pro reads and taking snaps from center. So I just think a lot of the finer points of the game that they're going to learn here is going to take them some time. The quarterbacks that have had success, Matt Ryan – early on in his career, Russell Wilson, they're 5 years in college and they came from pro style offenses. So that helps. And not to say that you can't do it. RG3 did it and he came from Baylor, which was a spread, and he played really good his first year. I'm not saying that it has to be one way or the other. I'm just saying that you have to take each individual quarterback and make it and make your decisions based off that.
What's draft day like for you? I mean, all your work is, I mean, you know, everything's yeah. Done.
Yeah, hopefully it's a sense of calm. So if we pick at 3, it's short. but if we trade back, then it gets a little longer. So the first day picking as high as we are it'll probably be a short day. But we'll have two picks in the second and third round that we got to get ready for too. So we'll just look at the end of the day after the draft is over on the first day, see who's still there, and then try to formulate our plan for day two and if there are trade back scenarios there or trade up scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
We're a little bit shy, huh?
So
yeah. Yeah, if we get the opportunity to trade back. Yeah, if we have the opportunity to trade back and get, 12 to 14, that'd be great. That'd be probably an ideal scenario.
Dave, you experienced it last year. Is there any sort of pressure associated with a top 5 pick and not wanting to miss on that guy?
No, I feel that way with all 11 picks, to be honest with you. It's, there's a lot of work that goes into it, not just myself, but the coaching staff and that scouting staff, that you want to be right and you want to make sure. But there's also the nature versus nurture aspect of it. And when you draft somebody, you can make the absolute right decision on draft day, but for whatever reason, player X gets hurt or something happens, or, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it that the pressure gets to them, that you, things you can't really measure. So, like I said, we'll make our mistakes, and hopefully we'll make more right decisions than we do wrong decisions.